You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Y'all ready?
Do you think enough kids these days know who Jerry Rice is?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jerry Rice, he had 118 catches in the playoffs. Travis Kelce just passed Rice. He's got 156.
Earlier on the show, host of the Greenlight Podcast and two-time Super Bowl champion, Chris Long, ESPN SportsCenter host, Scott Van Pelt. Coming up, Emmy Award-winning actor, Eric Stonestreet, USC head coach, Lincoln Riley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And, hey, everybody, we're doing all right here. Thanks for asking. It's raining really hard.
Really hard.
And again, Lincoln Riley must be like, you know, what happened to Los Angeles people? Where they're just freaking out over raining, like canceling plans because it's raining. It's raining really hard. As a matter of fact, we're collecting animals by two. So let me know if you have any. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show. Great chat with Scott Van Pelt, our two-time Super Bowl champ. Chris Long, he played in two Super Bowls and he won them. Eric Stonestreet has attended two Super Bowls and he won them. And he joins us here on the Rich Eisen Show right now in advance of another trip to the Super Bowl. How are you, Eric? Good to see you.
Good. How are you?
Is that the real deal? Is that the real deal back there?
100% is the real deal. It's Lindsay got that for me for Christmas after our first one, and it's from the same guy who makes the replicas for all the coaches.
Wow.
And coaches' wives and all that. So yeah, it's as real as it gets without winning one.
So if one more, are you going to use one as a hood ornament for the truck that you drove me around in Kansas City? What do you just put it right
yeah,
there?
I could use the Lamar Hunt for that. I also have a Lamar Hunt that they sent me as well.
This is so funny because once upon a time, you know, I'm like, when we first met well over a decade ago, you know, and I'm like saying to you, hey, you should give such a fan. You should come to the Super Bowl. You should. And you're like, no way. I am not going till the Chiefs make it. Now you're a regular. You're a regular
well,
on this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm starting to wear out my welcome because, you know, as you remember, Roger invited me to go when I was in that place where I wouldn't go unless the Chiefs were in it. And I asked for a rain check and he said, sure. And then we went the first year and I said, so can we make an agreement that I'll only bother you if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl? And he goes, yeah, we can do that. And now here I am again. I'm like, Roger, we're back. I need my tickets.
New phone? Did he do the new phone thing? Who it is?
No, he didn't do that.
Okay,
he's a man of his word.
Oh, I mean, I'll ask you this question again. I mean, this is the night that the Chiefs trade up for Mahomes in that draft in Philadelphia. If I told you this is what it would be, would you have believed it at all?
I don't think anyone would have predicted this exact run. I mean, I think there's no doubt that everybody thought that Patrick was going to change the franchise's trajectory. But this is history we're watching right now. I mean, this is potential all-time Super Bowl run here. So I don't think anybody would have said that. But, I mean, anything's possible, right? I mean, when you have that kind of generational talent.
Total life-changing. I mean, totally life-changing. And then, you know, I know nothing hurts me more than your disapproval, Eric. I'm not going to lie. and you're so willing to share it whenever I might not see eye to eye with the way you view the football world. But, I mean, has this turnaround even surprised you at all? I mean, Christmas was terrible. That was an awful Christmas.
We could roll the tape when I was there in person, and I said we would right the ship and we would be fine. I was nervous. I think that San Diego game, LA Chargers game,
yes,
really was a big thing for us as a team. I heard one of the coaches say it, and I think it's so true that watching those guys that usually are on special teams and then the second and third stringers go out there and play their tails off, really rallied the team. And that was, you know, we were winning one and losing one. And that was win-win. And I think that just set us up, getting Travis the rest, getting those guys the rest, set us up for what we knew we needed to do. Champions peak when champions are supposed to peak. I mean, I've said that from the beginning. I've watched it with so many other teams throughout my life that broke my heart, right? In baseball and in football and in hockey and things like that. So we're directed by the great Andy Reid. He knows what he's doing. And I don't think it was a switch anybody turned on, but I think, you know, they figured it out and they changed a little bit of what they were doing and people stepped up when it was showtime.
Do you got a story about Mahomes that I don't know about, whether it's from the Big Slick, you know, your charitable weekend with your friends and all your I've been there,
you know,
before.
Always, and it shows up, you know, the thing I can say about Patrick and Travis and Creed this year, we invited Creed. I always like an O-lineman represented. Those guys all showed up. The O-line showed up Thursday night to the hospital to do a magic show for the kids with our friend Blake Voigt. And Patrick always shows up. Patrick and I always put $20 on Texas Tech, K-State football and basketball, and we never pay each other. So we're kind of owe each other some kind of money.
Well, you would have probably owed you about $100 with that tournament run last year. That's for sure. You know?
Yeah, we always throw it over to football or vice versa, whatever it is in
Understood.
The season. I don't think we'll ever pay each other.
But he's I know he's just one of those dudes. But anything with from the softball game or anything, have you been around the team to show up?
You saw him throw me out, throwing the ball backwards. I was up to bat, and I hit the ball, and he threw me out with a backwards pass to first base. I'm like, bro, you had to do me that way. It was one thing to throw me out, but you threw me out without even looking and throwing the ball behind your back, like it's embarrassing already.
What do you mean? So you grounded it? Where
I grounded it to him. He picked it up and running this way, he just threw the ball back that way to first base and threw me out. You can find it online. Bring it up, Chris.
Okay,
it's hilarious.
No, I got it. It's amazing.
Okay, we'll share that out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably could have planted his feet, pivoted, and fired to first, right? He could have probably done that.
He could have, but it was just easier for him to use his momentum. And it's not like he was in a hurry to get it to first base with me running.
Oh my gosh, Eric Stone Street here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so what's this story with Snead, Legarius Snead? What do you have here?
Yeah.
Eric?
So. During training camp, he tweeted that he had a bunch of raccoons on his back porch that were like wreaking havoc on his porch, and he's at camp. Mm-hmm. Well, I see this tweet and I'm like, he doesn't live very far from me, and the boys' PE coach is his neighbor. So I told Lindsay, I'm like, text his neighbor and see if his neighbor wants to reach out to the Legarius and ask him if he needs me to go over and take care of the raccoon problem on his back porch.
Hmm.
And so he texts him and says, hey, I got somebody that'll come humanely trap the raccoons and release them. Do you want them to come do it? And I said, and he said, how much does it cost? Which I so appreciated that was his first question. I love that. More guys need to think that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, it's actually Eric Stone Street and his guy that works for him that'll come take care of it. So Darcy, that guy in the picture right there.
Yes.
And we roll over at 11 o'clock at night, set traps on Legarius Snead's back porch, catch all the raccoons. And I text Brett Veach and say, I may not be on staff officially as the fixer, but I just fixed a major problem. So Legarius can concentrate on training camp. And we trapped five raccoons and released them out at my property in Leavenworth.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So
handled.
So you just locked. So does that make Darcy's a shutdown trapper? Is that what it is?
I mean,
it's a lockdown. What do we call Darcy? What do we call
him? I just love that Legarius was also watching, like, on his cameras, like, these two dudes show up in a UTV, because he literally lives in the neighborhood across the street.
Yeah.
So we drove over at, like, 11 o'clock at night, and Darcy, that guy, gets out of his car at Legarius's house and goes into the backyard and sets these locked traps. And it, over the course of, like, 5 days, we were over there for 5 days getting the problem handled.
I love that. Yeah.
We handled it.
Look,
handled.
Look at Darcy. Is that a recent photo of Darcy with the
beard? that was the Colt game, I believe.
Okay.
That was the Miami game.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait a minute. He's dressed like that when it's minus 26? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. He has to do that.
No, wait a minute. Really?
I'm serious.
That is.
I'm serious. That's if we zoom in on that picture.
Yeah.
That's the Miami game. He does that on purpose to make us all
look Dolphins.
Stupid.
You're right. That is the Dolphins on the field. Get out of here.
Yeah. That's how he was dressed. And you saw how I was dressed, right?
Yes. Oh, we saw that. Yeah.
Juxtaposition me.
I thought that was Ryan Fitzpatrick. That guy looks like
it's a very Fitzpatrick type
this
beard.
This is how I'm dressed.
Look at that. Oh, my. Here, pull it to your right there. Look at that. Oh, my God. That's how you were dressed. And Darcy's just like, la-di-da. That is funny. All right, so your level of concern rests where right now? Monday before Super Bowl Sunday. Come on.
My level of concern is not playing from behind, getting the lead, scoring, not turning the ball over, all basic football stuff. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan won't make the same mistake that the other two coaches, in my opinion, made, which was abandon the run. Like, he's going to run the ball, so we can't let them get ahead. So I think as long as our offense comes out and clicks, doesn't turn the ball over, and we score, and, you know, I'm not saying that that's easy to do against anyone or in the Super Bowl, but we've proven we can score against anybody. Look, Buffalo, in my opinion, and I think other people that are a lot smarter than me's opinion, was the toughest team we played. That offense was awesome. Josh Allen is a stud. I love Brock Purdy because he's a Big 12 guy and he's a great story, but he's not Josh Allen yet, and he is not Lamar Jackson yet. And we handled those two guys. Spagnuolo put together a plan that obviously all the guys trusted would work, and it did work. So we can handle him. Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk, Debo, obviously, are all prolific weapons. So slow those guys down, you know, and I think we'll be fine. I think we match up pretty well. I think their interior line matches up, you know, pretty good against our Chris Jones and things like that. So I think we'll get after him and make him be a great quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know what the Spagnuolo mind trick is. You're right that McCaffrey, I assume, will get more than six carries.
Yes.
In this game, as opposed to just six running back play calls for toting the rock in the AFC Championship game for the Ravens. That if I told you that before the game, you're like, oh, then Mahomes must have lit it up, and we've got to be up by at least three, four touchdowns for something like that to happen. I don't know how the hell that happened.
You know, I don't know film and you know, scheme enough to understand what they did and what Spagnuolo dictated to the Ravens to do, but I know that they still could have attempted to run the ball a little bit more to try to establish it a little bit and not go to Lamar so quickly. I felt really good in that game going into it. I felt more confident going into the Baltimore game than I did the Bills game, to be honest with you. And I think winning at Buffalo was nothing against the Ravens and nothing against that atmosphere, but winning in Buffalo, I think, was a bigger win than even against the Ravens, given that it was even to the AFC, you know, to the Super Bowl.
And how great was that moment? Because I know you love linemen more than most. When, you know, they take the shot of the suite, and we're all expecting to see Taylor Swift, and it's Jason Kelce without a shirt and a beer in his hand, just like a bear, just like yowling, like roaring like a bear, man. That was hilarious.
Great. I got to tell Jason at the Super Bowl last year, you know, I've only met him twice, once when I was on their podcast here in Kansas City at the draft and there at the Super Bowl. But I told him, like, man, there's nobody better than you. And you are a Kelce, and Kansas City loves Kelce's. And this obviously was before all this stuff. And they're just a great family. They're great for communities. And I mean, they're just all world dudes. I mean, they're just all world guys. Look at that. I mean, I wish I could roll around like that without my shirt.
Look at him with that beer. That beer looks like it's a mini can in his hand. You know what I mean?
He's a stud. He's, you know, let me tell you a cool story about Jason and what a good guy he is.
Sure.
So I went up to him after the Super Bowl, and he was standing on the field watching the pageantry of the Chiefs win. And I had gotten down onto the field, and he was standing there. And I debated whether to say something to him in that moment or not, but I felt like, well, there he is. And, you know, I wanted to love him up a little bit and just say how much we love him, and it didn't go his way, and this and that, and that he's always, you know, a Kansas City, and as far as I was concerned, and told him great game and walked away. Well, then the documentary comes out that they were shooting, and I was like, holy crap. I walked up to him in this moment where the cameras were on him. He's mic'd up. I felt like a real turd. So then I saw him at his podcast, and I said, Jason, I got to apologize to you. Like, I realize now that that was a documentary, you know, going on, and I feel terrible that I interrupted that moment. And he said, buddy, you made that moment better. And I was like, that's a very nice thing to say to me, to make me feel better about kind of interrupting what potentially was going on in your world that I had no idea was going on. So I appreciate it. That just shows you what a good guy he is.
That podcast is the one that he and Travis did at the draft? That live one, you mean? That one?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I think the world of those guys, no doubt about it, the whole family. Okay, so I will see you this weekend. You got your game day gear all picked out? You got it?
It's been a struggle. I want this Vegas hat that I've seen, and I can't get the Vegas tarmac cap with the Vegas Welcome to Vegas.
Okay.
I'm looking for that. So hopefully, how's my hair look?
It looks good. Great.
Thank you. I want to get that hat. I don't know what I'm going to wear yet.
Oh, that one right there? The one that?
Oh, that. Yeah. Okay. I saw Coach Reed getting off the plane with one, and I know he'll never wear a flat bill hat. And I almost texted him and said, hey, save that hat for me.
I think you know the right people to get one of those. That is cool.
Oh, I'll find one somewhere. I think that's such a sharp looking hat. It's awesome looking.
That is cool. Okay.
Yeah. So you got your stuff already?
Oh yeah. I've got my suit picked out. I got my suit. I got, I think I'm going to go blue pinstripe. You know, it's a Super Bowl. I think I'm going to do that. A little nice dark suit. You know,
stay neutral.
Yeah.
Stay neutral.
Oh, right down the middle, sir. Right down the middle.
I will not be neutral. I remember the first year that we got to get in Roger's suite. I had to like call his secretary and be like, hey, just want to make sure that I can wear what I want to wear in his suite, because I'm not coming neutral in any way, shape, or form.
He's cool with that.
Like, you're fine.
At least you're not going to wear anything baseball in there like you did, Chris, right? You wore a Red Sox hat to the commissioner's suite, right?
I always wear a Red Sox hat,
he
idiot.
He did that.
So, yeah, I'm going to wear it when I'm at a football game.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, he's like the guy that wears the random team's jersey to another home game.
He actually calls those people out. You hate those people. Yeah.
Okay, good.
You hate those people. Yeah, actually, he was the first one I reached out to when I was walking into the Rose Bowl, Michigan, Alabama, and crossed paths with a guy wearing his Maryland gear. And I'm like, dude, you've got the wrong stadium, wrong day, Maryland gear. What the hell?
Is that person just basically saying to the world, like, I like sports too.
We don't know what those people are doing.
Yes.
I don't get it.
No, just, yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited. I can't wait to see you, Chris. I've forgiven you for all your tweets.
Well, I've gotten daily FaceTimes after the Chiefs win from Eric.
Oh, is that right?
Through the playoff run, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy,
it was the whole "it's too cold, move the game" people that were so annoying to me. Let me tell you something.
I'm sorry for caring about others, Eric. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm just a humanitarian in that way.
Oh, please. And tell him what I told your son when I FaceTimed you. His son was there so cutely on the phone. And I was like, here's what I can tell you about your dad. He will never let you be cold outside. Make sure you're taking care of. You've got gloves and scarves and hats and everything else. But here's the deal. Like, that game that you saw, that I've dressed like a, you know, wolf in the Arctic, and Darcy's dressed like he's going to Palm Beach. That was an amazing emotional moment for me, like sitting up there looking at how full the stadium was and thinking, like, so many people bought cheap tickets and came to that game. It was an emotion. It was like, I always cry at parades, like, and that brought a tear to my eye seeing all those people out there in that cold weather. So I think it was a really important moment for the Chiefs. I think it was an important moment for the city that we all came together, froze our tails off, and got the W.
Eric, you're the best, man. I'll see you this weekend. You be well.
Thank you.
You got it. That's Eric Stone Street getting ready for a third ring if he can. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Room on that shelf for another trophy.
We'll find out. That's wrapped in, that's really just chocolate.
I'd be okay with that too.
No, that's the real deal, I'm sure. How funny is that? I'm like, you should put that as a hood ornament. He goes, no, we have the Lamar Hunt trophy for that. I've got one of those around here, too. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for an event near you. Guess what? Right now, all users get $100 off when you buy a big game ticket with my code VEGAS100. You should by now have Game Time on your mobile device. You should have the app downloaded right now because I've been telling you about it for weeks and months, and we're about to do Overreaction Monday, which is presented by Game Time. Susie is doing What the Football with Amy and Chris Fowler this week, presented by Game Time. We've been telling you about how easy it is and the peace of mind that you get because you see the view from your seat, you get all in prices, and it's the guesswork's totally removed when you buy tickets with Game Time. Again, all Game Time users right now want to go to the big game, $100 off, you get a ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions do apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Download the app, Game Time app. Use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, just use my code RICH and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Through all the raindrops, do we see LeBron trying to head out of town? That's coming up before Lincoln Riley joins us.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
And then Mahomes, the memories of you just sitting next to Mahomes, just sitting right next to him as soon as he comes off the field, just chit-chatting. How do you think that helped his development and did lead to the guy who's like, let's use the wasp, you know, in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl trying to turn things around?
Yeah, listen, it's a trust thing. I know he wants to be the best. He's not going to sit there and boast about that and tell people, but he wants to maximize all of his potential. As a coach, you love that. So he wants you to give him one more thing to even be greater than what he already is. And you can appreciate that. And he's going to do nothing but get better, Rich. That's what's so great.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy, right? I mean, what does he have to improve on, Andy? What do you think?
Well, I joke him. I say, listen, quarterbacking's a lot like being a farmer. Like, the work's never done. There's something in the game that you can work on, and then it's our responsibility to give them new challenges. And so there's so much you can do offensively in football right now, and there's no rules as far as there. I mean, there are certain rules. We still got to stop at red lights, but it's there's a lot of ways to get to it. So the expansion, I guess, of offenses with the way the colleges are playing now is greater than it's ever been. And we're able to utilize more field than we've ever used. And so let's explore that. And let's not say anything's impossible until we prove it's impossible ourselves. Let's try that. And then we'll see where we end up. You know, who knows?
All right. That was Andy Reid back in the day. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of our archival material. Lincoln Riley is going to join us from USC in about 15 minutes time. We'll have a chat with him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. So when we go to the Super Bowl, are we going to have another monster bomb drop from the NBA and Woj? Last year, we're sitting there on the set, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Kevin Durant's coming to Phoenix. Like, well, for the Super Bowl? Really? No, right. As a player for the Suns. What?
That was wild.
Wasn't it?
That was wild.
That was quite a day.
Yeah.
That was the Thursday before the Super Bowl.
It was Wednesday super late.
Wednesday super late. Got it.
Yeah.
Trade deadline's coming up Thursday again. LeBron James. There's no way he gets traded. There's no way he gets traded, right?
No.
No way. Correct? They already said he's not getting traded.
Who cares? They said that 2 days ago. Everything's changed now.
How's it changed?
How's it changed?
They won two in a row.
They beat two of the top teams in the
Celtics
East.
Celtics and Knicks. They beat 1-3.
Well, now he thinks maybe I can win in the East.
This guy.
He doesn't believe that. LeBron is not leaving. His family's here.
Exactly.
Kids in school. His son's in school.
They got schools in New York.
But he didn't respond to the future past this year. Well, I mean, he wouldn't commit.
I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, McMenamin asked him about the hourglass emoji.
And he wouldn't answer that either.
Wouldn't even answer it. Even just put it to bed. Just say, oh, it was for my upcoming partnership with DraftKings. Like, just say that. Puts everything to bed. No. He loves the drama. It's like a mutter. He loves the slop.
Loves the
LeBron
slop.
LeBron loves the drama.
He eats the slop. He eats the slop.
His mutter was a mutter.
Mutter was a mutter. What the hell does that mean?
Could have easily put this to bed.
To say what?
Oh, hey, I was just teasing my upcoming tweet
the
next
day. So what is he trying to do? Is he just trying to, you know, make life tough for...
For everyone on the beat?
Everyone, I don't know.
Beats me. But he doesn't look happy playing right now.
I don't know. I mean, they just won two in a row.
And he didn't look... And look at how he was after the game. He didn't look...
What do you want him to do? Just pop champagne? Start putting plastic on his locker?
We kill you to smile? Hey, you just beat the two best home teams in the East.
LeBron James, Chris. He's done enough smiling in his life, dog.
He's 39. You're talking about like he's 79.
Well, he doesn't have to smile after every
win. Well, where would he go? Where would he go? The Knicks? I mean, the trade package for him would have to be through the roof.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of draft picks.
Not really.
Really? You don't think so? To get LeBron James.
If he goes to the Knicks, is he their best player?
No.
So why would you have to blow out the trade package?
You just hooked me in about... Don't talk about Jalen Brunson that way.
I mean, I realize Jalen Brunson is good.
He's my guy.
He's better than but LeBron he's still LeBron. This year.
No, LeBron is still LeBron like James. LeBron guys, James let's be honest here. Like. But the question is, who would the Knicks have to give up to get LeBron James?
Jalen Brunson.
No way. So, no, now you can pound sand. Now you can take your sand and pound
just
it.
A bunch of draft picks. You. Randall. I don't know. Who else?
Hey, can we throw in Billy Joel? He sounded great last night in crypto. He looked at home there.
Playing the hits.
Just for a year. You take Billy for a year in crypto. And Susie and I would love it. We're going.
Residency.
1 year residency in Los Angeles.
I'm into that.
And LeBron does a 1 year residency in Madison Square Garden.
Sold.
And he sounded great. Seriously, Billy sounded like in his prime last night during the Grammys.
All right, in all seriousness.
In the home of the Lakers.
Here's the problem about LeBron and his future, okay?
Yes.
The whole play with Bronny thing next year doesn't look like it's happening. Bronny is, if you look at mock drafts, he's not getting drafted at all in the first two rounds, okay? So odds are he's going to stay in school. So now what? Now is he going to ring chase or is he going to stay in L.A.? Because he still wants to hold on to playing with his son.
But why can't this team perform like they did at the end of last year and like they did for those two nights in Vegas? Why?
Rich.
It's still most of the same guys. What?
We've,
Rich, what?
We've all had two good nights in Vegas.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Good one. Well, why not? Why can't Austin Reeves catch fire again? Let me ask you this. D'Angelo Russell, better this year than he was last year?
I think so.
Okay.
It's super underrated kind
of. Rui Hachimura, better this year than last year?
Yeah. I don't know.
Now we're drilling down.
You're getting a great Anthony Davis season.
Shame
for that to go to waste.
It's not going to waste yet. Not going to waste yet. You don't like my Billy Joel for LeBron straight up? Draft picks,
straight,
Billy Joel?
Straight up.
No.
Could you imagine including like an entertainer in a trade package?
He is the... He's, honestly.
That would be incredible.
Madison Square Garden touts that they're the home of the Knicks, Rangers, Liberty, and Billy Joel. You're aware of that, though, right?
I know. It's great.
We're going to trade you Billy Joel and Matthew Modine.
No. The Knicks.
For Snoop
no.
Jack Nicholson.
No. Don't confuse it. Don't confuse
it's
it.
It's an even trade.
No, I'm trying to figure out what That's else we could funny. Give so the Knicks don't That's give funny. Up too much that they can actually win it. With LeBron? You wouldn't be able to get a ticket in Madison Square Garden.
Can you get a ticket now?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure you might be able to get one. You can always get them on Game Time tickets.
Well, I mean, obviously.
But I'm seriously.
Code Rich.
All right.
Boom. Boom.
So who are we going to hear about on Thursday? Anybody? What do you think?
Unclear. I'm worried it's just going to be, Killian Hayes or...
Yeah, not the same as Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see probably like an Alex Caruso get moved.
Right, maybe Caruso. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's something else I want to talk about before Lincoln Riley joins us. So Dan Quinn gets the job in Washington, D.C., and thus a defensive-minded head coach gets the job there. Ben Johnson, this is how it all starts. Ben Johnson, we were all thinking, was going to be the next Commanders coach because that's who everybody was essentially placing there, and the Commanders were waiting for Johnson to be free of the championship weekend to speak with him, to the point where they were flying to go see him. Our friend Albert Breer, you see what he reported in MMQB? Ben Johnson texted the Commanders. Hey, I don't know what it exactly said, but bottom line is like,
turn the plane around.
I'm not meeting with you. I'm out. I'm staying.
Yeah.
And that they didn't get that text first, that the plane Wi-Fi was a little wonky.
Oh.
And so when somebody was on Twitter first and saw the tweet about it before the text got through.
Oh.
So they found out the way the rest of us did. And then do you break up with a team on text? I mean, like,
Here's the thing.
What's the etiquette here?
Tough to feel bad for owners. Players find out they've been traded all the time on Twitter.
Right.
Chris Paul found out by his son on Twitter. So,
Got it.
Bummer. But
the reason why I'm bringing all this up about Ben Johnson is, like, if Ben Johnson had gotten the gig, the Commanders wouldn't be looking for an offensive coordinator, correct?
Not one who you assume is going to call plays.
Right.
Right.
And so it's Dan Quinn, so they need an offensive coordinator now. And I guess, I don't know, Cliff Kingsbury was set to go to Las Vegas. And then all of a sudden we hear he's dropping out of that. And he goes to the Commanders. And Vegas gets Luke Getsy, who, I have no idea. Fits or certain fits, maybe fits better what the Raiders are going to do there. I don't know, but
Bears fans, this is the guy, like
Bears fans are like, go.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy whose offense turned Justin Fields into a robot, according to Justin Fields, right?
Yeah.
And then Fields did play better. I don't know, man. But all I know is Kingsbury is in D.C., where Caleb Williams went to high school. And Cliff Kingsbury was where Caleb Williams went to college. The last year, there he is, dapping up, number 13 on the sideline, all smiles. So, he's going to a spot where they're second overall, one spot away from getting him. And Chicago had him in a few weeks ago to interview. Remember, I heard that. I'm like, genius, get him, get Caleb Williams, boom. You got yourself a coach and quarterback who like each other and are attached at the hip, and go do it. So the Bears say no to that. They get Shane Waldron from Seattle. He's free because they bounced Pete Carroll, right? You see how one stone in the pond ripples elsewhere, and instead he winds up in Washington, where now the Bears, maybe they got Shane Waldron to get Justin Fields up to speed. They're not interested in Caleb Williams, or Waldron can be Caleb Williams' guy. And Washington now does move up one spot. And Chicago moves down another spot and stays put and gets a king's ransom from Washington to just move down one spot and get whoever they wanted in the first place. Maybe it is Marvin Harrison. Maybe it is Daniels or May. They're cool with that, with the rest of this. And then they send Justin Fields elsewhere. I don't know. All I know is every single move that's made just makes this draft that much more interesting. That much more interesting. And then Caleb Williams, you saw what he posted, right? My dog, congrats.
Instagram story.
There he is. And we're showing for our radio audience an Instagram story of, I don't know how these things get made real fast. Did they change the actual clothing that's in the photograph of the person, or take the head and just put it on? Like, whose body is that?
I think that's Cliff and the ESPN just graphics team. How do
they
team.
Do that? They just change it to a Commanders thing? How
they,
do they do that?
They probably had a Raiders one ready, a Bears one. They probably but, had everything
honestly,
ready.
Like, all I'm saying is this. If I don't plan on changing networks ever, but if they ever do this for broadcasters, put my head on a body that's a little bit tighter than the one that I've got. I would appreciate it. Because if that is that Kingsbury's body, I'm assuming it is. How do they change the color of these things?
Well, I mean, it's Photoshop.
But anyway,
it's easy
Photoshop.
When you know how to do it.
I'm going in a less germane direction with that. But there's Caleb Williams. He's his dog.
My dog.
And his dog is now coordinating the offense that's one pick away. One.
Just a quick move up.
It's going to be an expensive move up, pal. Right. Expensive.
Guess what?
It's going to cost.
Worth it. Who cares? Who cares what it costs when it works out?
Especially if Caleb Williams already told the Bears, I'm not coming. Which, by the way, is too bad. He's going to. And the guy who might have an answer to all these questions about Caleb Williams and who he's like and what's in his head. Well, guess what? That's Lincoln Riley. He's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will take a break right here on this Monday of Super Bowl week program. Lincoln Riley, the HC of USC, when we come back. So Lincoln Riley is about to join us. Radio audience returns in 2 minutes' time. So moving out here to L.A., 03, Susie and I getting married, moving out here. Zan, our oldest, 15, Coop, is going to turn 13 next week. He's bar mitzvahed later this month. Taylor, 10. The reason why I bring all this up is when they're born, I kept thinking to myself, well, you know, and I remember having snow days as a kid. They're never going to have that feeling here in L.A.
No.
Until today. Rain day.
A rain day.
All three of their schools last night canceled due to concerns of flooding.
I get it.
Crazy.
Crazy.
It's raining sideways.
You know, normally we make fun of people in L.A. and rightfully so about we don't know how to drive in the rain.
That's correct.
But what happened last night and today was different, man. Like, I was up in Simi Valley driving back to over this way behind the airport. I literally saw 5 wrecks on the freeway, and I could not see in front of me. I had my windshield wipers as fast as they could go, and it was... the visibility was awful. Huh. The rain was and the wind was moving my car.
Wow.
And on the road a little.
I don't know what's more concerning, that or, again, he just mentioned airport. Again that he's driving behind the airport. You're freaking me out, man. That's twice now. You're like, hey, so I've been driving behind the airport.
It's
like,
here on this
do you need
side
something to do? We can have you over.
Bro, what are you talking about?
You're just driving behind airports?
That's where I live.
I understand that. But how many times do you just keep mentioning that? So I'm driving behind the airport.
Well, because that's where I was, Rich.
Guys, am I wrong?
It's a little random.
It's twice now.
I think you're both right and you're both wrong. It is a funny phrasing.
Yeah, it's right. So I'm driving behind the airport.
But it is accurate.
Very accurate.
No, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been there. He knows what I'm talking about.
It's funny phrasing.
It's just a little weird.
It's funny phrasing.
I'm on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network now. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. The head coach of USC football. It's great to have Lincoln Riley back on the program. Good to see you, Coach. How are you?
Good, Rich. Good to see you as well.
So are you used to the Los Angeles situation where we're freaking out over rain? Or this still just, you know, is a little bit weird to you that we're all freaked out over rain here?
Still a little weird. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, usually it's snow this, snow that. I'm sure we're places that you've been to. But here we are. It's raining hard, so we can't go out, you know?
Yeah, and then we make up these names like Atmospheric River and all this other stuff, right?
Yes. Oh, that's, by the way, that's not making it up. I mean, there's an atmosphere and a river has fallen down, Coach. Not to go full meteorology on you here, but, you know, I hear you. But that's what it is.
Yeah, I heard all about the LA sunshine, so we're not getting it right now.
I know that. Otherwise, you'd be in Vegas now, I believe. So
that's right.
I know exactly.
Right.
So let's just jump into some of the news that's going on in the world, and Caleb Williams is right there in the middle of it. And the conversations that I hear at the pro level about Caleb outside of the clear, what the eyes see and the eye in the sky doesn't lie about, is that the kid might be a little bit sensitive for the next level. And I just want to throw that your direction. You know him very well, and ask you to hit that subject matter on him.
Yeah, I don't buy that much. I think he's comfortable in his own skin. You know, he is who he is. And I think, you know, the quarterback position especially, and you're talking about, you know, the level of scrutiny that a guy like this is going to have, a Heisman Trophy winner coming out of USC and likely to be a top draft pick, you better have somebody that truly is comfortable in their own skin and has that inner self-belief and confidence and is comfortable being themselves. And that Caleb certainly has that. He's always had it. And I think that's important, that you don't try to be somebody that you're not. And so he's very passionate about the game. He's very passionate about winning. He does wear his emotions on his sleeve. Some people like that. Some people don't like that. That's just the nature of the business. But this kid's he's about one thing. He's about winning, about playing high-level football, and he's got a lot of talent to back that up.
Yeah, and just so you're aware, I find the conversation unfortunate, but it is something that I'm sure I'm going to be hearing about at the Combine in a couple of weeks, and then there's the draft, and you understand you've been through all this quite a bit, and him crying on the sleeve of his mom after that loss – to me, I think it's great. You know what I mean? Like he's just he's still a kid, and he is somebody that just wears, as you said, his emotion on his sleeve, and have this whole conversation surrounding him, I think not a red flag whatsoever. But what can you tell me about him that some folks may not know about him, Coach?
Well, and the other thing I would say to that is, I mean, I know they got captured on camera, but I've never had a guy that was a great player or turned into, you know, a really good player in the NFL that if we lost a game, wasn't just totally destroyed by it. I mean, that's, you know, for people on the outside that haven't been in those locker rooms at that level, man, it's these guys put so much into it and they want to win so bad. And it's you have to have that level of investment, to me, emotionally, to be successful in those scenarios. But now this guy's made up of a lot of the right things, man. He's fearless. I've said a lot, you know, when he made a decision to transfer, he could have went into a lot more ready-made situations. He chose to come here with us to USC as we were, you know, in the beginning of trying to get a program up off the mat. And has been a big part, certainly in us being able to do that. And so just, I think the willingness to go into any situation, be confident in himself and his abilities, and not afraid of any challenge is something that's important. And listen, whatever situation he goes into, like there's a reason why you don't have, or there's a reason why you have one of the early picks in the NFL draft. That means maybe everything hasn't gone perfect. And so when he gets likely in one of those situations, I think he's somebody that's going to face it head on. And I think that's an important mentality to have.
And you also know what it's like to send quarterbacks to the next level, significant quarterbacks to the next level. And you just lost a member of your staff and Cliff Kingsbury to the Commanders, which, as you know, they have the second overall pick in the draft. What do you think Kingsbury could do for Caleb at the next level should somehow, some way they connect in Washington, Coach?
Well, they've had a chance to, you know, obviously build up a little bit of a relationship over the last 7 or 8 months when Coach Kingsbury was with us, and it was great to have him in the building. He's a great friend and a tremendous coach. So, yeah, you get a creative offensive mind like that's developed, you know, obviously some phenomenal quarterbacks, and a chance to pair those two up could be, I think, really special if that happens. And, you know, from my perspective, that's what you want, right? You want Caleb and any player you have to just get in the right situation. I mean, we see all the time the young, really talented quarterback goes into a situation that's not very stable or not ideal, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work out. And in that league, more than any, it's so important about the fit, the right scheme, the right players around, the right coaches. I mean, all of that has to be working together at a high level for there to be success. And so certainly hoping that Caleb can end up in one of those situations.
And what did Cliff do specifically over the last year that you think helped out Caleb?
Well, I think just his perspective from some of the guys that he's coached, his perspective from having coached in the NFL and just being a really good offensive coach was awesome. I mean, he was limited in what he could do here for us with the with the college rules, but just, you know, being able to go back and forth with us to help in game planning, to be able to help, you know, guide Caleb just, you know, from a mentality standpoint and continue to grow his football knowledge was a big piece of it.
Ah, yes. College rules, Lincoln Riley, college rules. Where do you stand on the subject matter that's bandied about in our world, in the media, that the rules in college are still not well-defined enough for folks in a position like you, which makes going to the NFL even more attractive? What do you say about that concept in coaching right now in college football?
The thing I've tried to stay focused on is, look, we still have a great product, man. Like, I love college football. I love being a part of it. It's been a part of my life for a long time now. And the product has never been better. The on-the-field play, all that is phenomenal. We've got some issues right now. You know, we have some problems. We have some things that we need to get corrected. There's been some advantages and certainly some positives with some of the developments over the past few years, but there's been a lot of negatives to it too. And it needs some work, and we need to get it fixed. And we can, but it's going to take right people coming together. And it's going to take some real well thought out plans laid out to help college football, because it needs it. There's too many good things going on right now for it to be tarnished by that. But right now, it's just the world that we're all living in.
So there is a committee that's just been formed between the SEC and your new conference, the Big Ten, which still blows my mind. That USC, that you're a Big Ten coach for USC, Lincoln Riley. There's a new committee of athletic directors and presidents getting together. They reach out to you, Lincoln Riley, saying, what do we need to do? What suggestions would you give this group?
Well, we got to decide what we are. You know, are we amateur or are we professional? And right now we're somewhere stuck in the middle between both. And that's, you know, probably the worst place that we could be, because it's just not definitive. And that's really what we need, right? We need clear lines. We need clear boundaries. We need to know, you know, what this is going to look like in terms of paying players. We need to look like we need to know what it looks like in terms of players and their responsibility of staying, you know, throughout a season. You know, we got to just decide what we're going to be at the end of the day. And there's a path forward to both, but you can't sit here stuck in the middle and pretend like that everything's going to work out, because it's not. And so we've put ourselves in this position. We need to dig ourselves out of it. And I believe we will. And I think a committee like that between the Big Ten and the SEC is a great start, because it needs to be put together by the people that are on the ground, by the people that are dealing with this on a day-to-day basis, and not people that don't have any experience with college athletics.
In the couple minutes I have left with you, I'll give you the floor on the changes you made to your defensive side of the staff for USC. Why'd you do it, and what do you like about it?
We do it because we came here to win championships, and you're not going to win championships unless you're playing elite-level defense. It doesn't matter what level of ball you're coaching at. And we're excited's not even the right word for the guys we were able to bring in. I think it's just a tremendous staff, you know, getting Dan Lynn to come be our defensive coordinator, who did a phenomenal job this last year at UCLA, probably was the biggest turnaround of any defense in the country. Great NFL experience. We hired Eric Henderson away from the Los Angeles Rams, who was a defensive line coach and did as good a job as anybody in that league over the last several years. Brought Matt Entz, who was the head coach at North Dakota State, won multiple national championships there. Doug Belk, who's a defensive coordinator at Houston. I mean, it really just all came together. We couldn't have hoped for anything better. I think it's a really, really high-level staff, and very confident in the job that these guys are going to do for USC.
Coach, thanks for the time. Let's do this more often. I'm just, you know, I'm down the road a bit. But we'd love to have you here anytime.
Absolutely. You got it, Rich. Appreciate you.
Right back at you. I'm seeing Baker on Wednesday. I'll send him your best. I saw you were
year he had.
Oh my God. I saw you were at the Tampa game, right? You went to the playoff game?
I was. Yeah, pretty special to see both those guys doing it together, man.
I love it. All right, coach. We'll see you soon. Thanks for the time.
Anytime. Thanks,
you
Rich.
Got it. That's Lincoln Riley, the head coach of USC football, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just a friendly reminder that you can stream the Super Bowl for free on Westwood One, sponsored by AutoZone. Every single NFL game you've been able to stream for free of the Westwood One broadcast on the NFL of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on the call for the big game for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Fun one, guys.
Are we done?
We are done.
That went fast.
You and I are about to stay after class.
I'm ready.
Overreaction Monday. There's no problem. There's ponding on the 105 anyway. Ponding. You know what? You know what you should do? Here's what you should do. Ponding on the 101.
It's just funny.
So you and I are going to stay for Overreaction Monday.
Correct.
And then
the Super Bowl preview.
That is correct. That is correct. And so, like I said, the 105's got some ponding on it. You know what we should do? We should drive behind the airport, check things out, pull over. You know, look at the planes.
I want this day to be remembered when I start to come back. I just want to remember that this was the day that started it. So.
What's the comeback?
Well, I mean, you'll see. You'll see.
Gonna take off?
You'll see.
Yeah. Listen.
Listen, man.
Just want to go hang out by the airport. What's wrong with that?
Behind the airport.
I've heard it's amazing. You should drive behind the airport.
Oh, I've driven that way, so I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna pile on.
Say hi to the airport for me.
Not piling on.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And I should be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.